Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, you are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. You are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. You are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. 500 years ago, this message, the message that the just shall live by faith and not by works, began ringing through the churches of Christendom once again. This message is the core and crux of our theology, and there is no more important message than this. You are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, it is not as if this message were totally lost to Christianity through that theological exile under the papacy. The saving truth that we find in Jesus Christ has always been in the church, will always be in the church, and is in the church even now. There are always Christians. There have always been those who have been saved through Christ alone. Even in Luther's time, those poor souls who were so besieged with the doctrines of works for salvation still were saved through Christ, looking to Him as the object of their faith. And sadly, it may be that many were lost because they looked to the wrong place. You see, that is why theology, why doctrine matters. Bad theology is bad Christology. You know what theology is? The study of God. Christology then would be the study of Christ. Bad theology is bad Christology. Bad theology in one area will impact every other theology. And bad theology, if it leads you away from Christ, is damning. When you believe that you are saved by God because of how good you are, because of what you do, because you're a good person, because you're doing the good even that He causes you to do, and then He saves you, your eyes are moving away from Christ, the author and perfecter of the faith, and are turning inward toward your own heart. And that is damning. And so it was that for Christendom, the official teaching of the Roman Church turned the eyes of believers to themselves. And so if the parishioners of these poor churches believed what they were taught, they had no hope in Christ. Their only hope was in themselves, and that is no hope at all. But this day, we celebrate the beginning of the Reformation, because you are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. This doctrine returned to the church and was held firmly and lovingly, because in it we find the hope of our salvation. We spend our days as sinners. We know this, but the Word of God speaks to you. And it tells you that in spite of your sin, while you were yet an enemy of God, Christ died for you. God loves you through Christ Jesus. It tells you that the righteousness of God is not something that you attain, it's something that is given to you. It's already yours. It tells you that your sins, your great sins, your most grievous sins are forgiven through the shed blood, the broken body, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And it tells you that though all, and especially you, if you're honest with yourself, fall short of the glory of God, while you were yet a sinner, again, Christ died for you. No wonder so many grasped on to that message. No wonder so many were relieved by this good news. No wonder people left the Roman church in droves to grasp on to what the Word of God actually states. No wonder that people would look to the man, Martin Luther, a simple man, an earthly man, a sinner, and said, "Praise be to God for Martin Luther." And yet, still hearing that message, how many turn away? How many today turn away from this message of the free gift of salvation? How many try to work to earn the free gifts of God? Too many. There are some Protestant churches this morning who are going to be celebrating the Reformation, who really are functionally no better than the Roman church. They've returned to that which we left. You have to make a decision for Jesus, they say. Your faith is only evident by your works, they say. The Lord's Supper and baptism aren't what our Lord promises. They're only symbols, they say. See, to make up doctrine, to not take the Lord at His word, is to return to the teachings of Rome, a false church with a false doctrine and a false pope who believes that he can stand in the place of Christ. Even in evangelicalism out there, just driving down 76th Street and seeing most of the churches on the side of the road, these churches, you know, preach a false gospel because they've got pastors who say that they're popes. They say that they're getting direct words of knowledge from God, and they'll excommunicate you if you should challenge them. America has forgotten the Reformation today. They may celebrate it. It's all over the newspapers. It's all over the magazines. Can't tell you the number of churches who are going to mention it this morning, as we are. They'll celebrate it. They'll celebrate the life of Dr. St. Martin Luther. But they do so without understanding. They do so. And it's sad. Because it wasn't Martin Luther who saved the church. It was Christ. It's a return to what he said. And when you reject what Christ says, you reject him. "Hey, pastor," you say, "give us something happy. Preach something nice. Tell us how great it is to be a Lutheran today." Well, it is great. It is absolutely wonderful. It is the best thing in the world that I can think of. And honestly, I would rather die than give up my confession of the faith. See, this isn't, being Lutheran isn't wonderful because we belong to some group, to some social club, to do stuff around here, to whatever. That's not why it's good. To be a Lutheran is the best thing in the world because we take Christ at His word. When He says that all have sinned, we believe Him, and it's wonderful. And when He says that all of the earth deserves hell and damnation, we believe Him. And surprisingly, that's wonderful too. When he says that he's the only way to salvation, we believe him, and it's wonderful. When he says that to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we believe him, and it's wonderful. When he says that we should obey the law, we believe him, and that's wonderful. When he says that we're free to love and serve our neighbor, we believe him, and it's wonderful. When he says that these works earn us nothing but are only for others, we believe him, and it's wonderful. When he says that he has given to us the church and his pastors to bring the word and the sacraments to his people, we believe him, and it's wonderful. You see, to be Lutheran is to take Christ at his word. But how many have fallen away? How many, even sitting here among us in this place, have fallen away from these truths? It was no different, even for those people who saw Jesus face to face. People would hear him and walk away. They would commit violence against him. I mean, think about it. They crucified Jesus. They beheaded John. They sawed open Isaiah. They stoned Jeremiah. And those who followed after Christ fared no better. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. Thomas was boiled. Matthew was stabbed through. But not one of these would turn away from the word of God, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. To follow Christ is to hear his word and keep it, even if it should take you unto death. That is why we celebrate Luther and his friends and his colleagues this day, because they would suffer all things for the sake of their confession of Christ. We learn from them. Wars, riots, violence, excommunications, deaths, broken families, our fathers in the faith suffered these things. And why? Why is it that the prophets and the apostles and the martyrs and even the Lutherans would suffer so greatly? Why do they put up with such violence and not run away? Why don't they just go out into the woods somewhere and start a commune, removing themselves from society so that they can be safe? It's for your sake. Wisdom is justified by her deeds. This points us to our Lord, who is wisdom personified. And through his deeds, through his perfect obedience, through his preaching, even unto death upon a cross, he is justified in all that he does, so that you might believe in him. And so it is with all of our fathers of the faith. They suffered for your sake, that you might be brought into the kingdom of God. Even the saints of this church did the same. St. Peter Lutheran Church was founded just 1 year after our synod was formed. And Emmanuel Lutheran not long after that. They've been around for quite a while. The saints of these two churches suffered through the German persecutions here in Milwaukee, through the beatings, through the ridiculing. They suffered these things for your sake, that you might hear the free gospel of Jesus Christ, that you might come to saving faith, that you might be baptized in the waters which Christ instituted, that you might be fed through his life-giving meal, that you might be strengthened through the hearing of his word. The saints of old, and even the saints of not so old, suffered these things for your sake on account of Christ. Because of what their Lord and our Lord has done, they suffered all things, never forsaking their confession of faith, all so that you might receive the benefit of Christ also. That's why we celebrate Reformation Day. We celebrate that we might hear of that true confession of faith we find in our Book of Concord. We celebrate so that our children and our children's children might see and hear and believe. We celebrate for all that the Lord has done for us and for our sake. We celebrate that the next generation may hear of our faith and follow our example, even as we try to follow the example of Martin Luther and the confessors. We celebrate because we're willing to suffer all things for the sake of Christ who saved us. We suffer the mockings, the persecutions, even the utter abandonment of those we love for the sake of this confession. And you will receive your reward. You are not rewarded because you suffer. You are rewarded because of the one on whose account you suffer. You suffer for Christ, and you shall receive the reward that he did, everlasting life and bliss with God. You're not welcomed into your eternal rest because of your work, but you work because of Christ who won for you that rest. You don't even work for yourself, but you work for those who would believe in the one who sent you. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, found in Scripture alone, and to God alone be the glory. That is the Reformation message. And no matter the violence, no matter who tries to wrest the kingdom away from God's Son, this message will be proclaimed in Christ's church until he comes again. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.